So let me introduce the next phase of our gathering, which is a podium dialogue. We are inviting guests to dialogue on a very important subject that's with us throughout the years and decades of the Integral Movement. Ken Wilber showed up first in the movement of the transpersonal psychology, and he was identified and called as a transpersonal psychologist. And somewhere around 2000, the year 2000 and after, it emerged from that, and since that time, we started to call it integral psychology or integral theory on its own. And then the relationship between the transpersonal psychology and integral psychology is kind of an underlying issue that we dearly hold in heart. And myself, I was the president of the Hungarian Transpersonal Association at one time, as a psychologist and clinical psychologist. And even in Budapest, in the Hungarian Association, we had this same question about the movements and boundaries and overlapping. So in this conference, we have luminaries of these movements. And Roger Walsh is one of them who has been there at the conception of transpersonal and now hangs with the integral as a natural connection between the two movements. I already introduced, and you already saw Roger, who will be invited to this dialogue. But I'd like to introduce two other beautiful minds and souls who are deeply engaged with these movements for decades. One is Jorge Ferrer, who is a professor of East-West psychology at the California Institute of Integral Studies, CIIS, in San Francisco. And those of you who know the transpersonal movement know that Jorge has a historic turn. He is not only teaching in the movement, but he created a turn in the movement that we call the participatory turn in his book, Re-envisioning Transpersonal Psychology, published in 2002. And he was also one of the greatest critics of Ken Wilber, and there is a famous debate between Jorge and Ken that is available online. So he really strikes a chord that is at the depth and core of integralism, whether there are universal stages in the universe, in the mind, or there are not. Can we say there is an ultimate truth that can be accessed by anyone? Or it is that every person has a different kind of experience when it comes to spirituality and ultimate truths. So Jorge deals with the deepest questions that define integral theory and offers an alternative for the Wilberian integral. Also, we have here for this dialogue Rob McNamara, who is a teaching fellow at Harvard University, a leadership coach, and author of the book The Elegant Self. And Rob has been with the integral movement in the main hub. When we say main hub, usually we mean Denver, Boulder, Denver, which are neighboring towns and cities where Ken Wilber himself lives, and where usually it all happened when Integral Institute came to life. So Rob was a core faculty member in most of the major American Integral events around Ken Wilber and the Integral spiritual experience, and also the Integral Life Practice and the Integral Center in Boulder. It's one of the main local hubs in the Ken Wilber area, so to say. Rob also is an expert of transpersonal and integral psychology and adult development. He teaches also at Naropa University, and he knows from the inside out the work of Wilber, Roger Walsh, and Jorge Ferrer. So please welcome them on stage for a beautiful dialogue.
All right, everybody, welcome. Thank you for the warm introduction. We have three ground rules for our dialogue. Rule number one. Water is a metaphor for spirit, God and love, or whatever you want to put in there. Water is a metaphor for spirit, God, and love. Two, more than what appears to be occurring is happening on this stage in you and with us. Ground rule number two, more is happening than appears on the surface. So bring your curiosity. Ground rule number three, more for you as you're sharing, cut to the heart. And listen from the heart. All right, you guys ready? Okay, so here is the first vignette, and I invite you all to enter into this vignette, right? And join with us. Okay, these guys are wearing black jumpsuits, and they have masks covering their faces, and they are just about to enter into a museum with an exquisite piece of art that is needed for the collection. They've been all over the world, east and west, north and south, inside, outside, upside down, inside out. They've been collecting and gathering all of the world's greatest treasures. And they've fit it in this black van. And they're prancing out. They've got it. They open the back. They put the piece of art into their black van. Now, the thing that's important, now listen carefully. It's a featureless black van. They don't want to get caught. There's like no features, and it holds everything in there. And Roger is so excited, he just jumps right in. Just right in with all this beautiful art and generative specimens of humans' intelligence. Jorge can't control himself, jumps right in on top of him. Somebody's got to drive the van. Bam, slams the door shut, right? This guy runs in, hops in the car, and the heist is complete, but they need to get away, right? So, slams on the gas, racing through the town, making their way through, weaving back and forth, and takes a hard left. Go ahead and steer. You should kind of be joining. You guys are kind of rocking around. Yeah. And makes their way onto this beautiful bridge, this gorgeous, elegant bridge that's reaching out into the horizon. And overcome with delight, Bensei leans back. He just, with a glimmer in his eye, just looking at his two fellow comrades, in delight, and doesn't realize that he pulls the steering wheel as he's going, and boosh, they crash through, and they're careening through space. Oh my God, so you guys are now freaked out? You're freaked out? Splash into the water. You guys, the small selves, are a little panicked. The water's starting to kind of flush in. You're trying to open the doors, but this featureless van, you can't get out. There's no getting out, but it's you guys are fluttering around trying to make your way out. And the water's rising. And when the water line envelops their hearts, Roger relaxes. And Roger says, "You guys, this is it. We're not getting out of this. My estimation is we've got about 3 minutes each to share." What we most appreciate about what we've done together.
That wasn't the introduction I was expecting. So I'm on?
I'm on.
Okay, so what have we done together? Let's see. It's been a wild ride, but over the last several decades, there's been a recognition that we as human beings are far vaster, more mysterious, more profound, more transcendent, have vast potentials greater than we ever recognized. And it would be good if you could hear this. But, and that discovery has gone in several phases. In the 60s, there was a radical transformation of our culture, first through the advent of psychedelics, then through the introduction of contemplative practices from the East, then a reemergence of practices around our own Western traditions, all of which opened the recognition to our society that consciousness is far more fluid and has far greater capacities and potentials than we ever realized. And our culture is still reeling and trying to make sense of that. We are in the process of what anthropologists call moving from a monophasic culture, which orients itself around one state of consciousness, to a polyphasic culture, which recognizes and orients its worldview and its understanding of itself and the culture from multiple states. So transpersonal psychology emerged as the first school of psychology to recognize and appreciate the importance of altered states, the recognition of these potentials, and the first to begin to synthesize among multiple cultures of East and West and the wisdom of these traditions, and to bring wisdom back into our Western psychological world. And then with Ken's great synthetic genius, he started in the transpersonal movement, but he recognized that the interconnection of all things in a way which no one really has appreciated so fully before. So he added dimensions of not just altered states, but psychological development, the four quadrants, these domains, the types, giving us a far larger picture of human beings than we've ever had before. And our work now is to take the best of the world's great traditions, the accumulated wisdom and insights and discoveries of humankind, and to try and make sense of them in contemporary language. And Carl Jung had a term for this, a Gnostic intermediary. A Gnostic intermediary is someone who imbibes the wisdom of a different culture, translates it into the language and concepts of their own culture, and thereby makes this understandable to all. So our job, each and every one of us, is to be Gnostic intermediaries, imbibing the great wisdom from the world's history and the world's cultures and different traditions, formulating it in the language of the contemporary psychology, transpersonal, integral, and bringing this wisdom to the world. What a privilege.
The water is rising.
Thank you, Roger, and thanks, Vincent, for the invitation to be here. One of the first things I noticed when I came to this conference the first time, I was like a few months ago in Prague in a transpersonal conference where Vincent was there, and it's like how similar the communities are. I mean, it's full of vital, intelligent, spiritually sensitive people who want transformation of society and the world, who are interested in psychology, and who want like a fully integral development, you know. How many of you were in Prague? If you can raise your hands. A few, more than I thought. So welcome as well. So this is good for me to see, because there's already some overlapping of the communities, and I think that part of this panel and part of Vince's invitation is like somehow how to bring these communities more in communication with each other. Because I think that both of us, and I think that Robert and Roger would agree, there is much they can give to each other. And there were something, events in the past that in the history of the scission of the movements, that were quite painful for some people. But I think it's really time to move forward and to look at the future. And in that spirit, I would just offer a couple of reflections about what I feel integral theory and transpersonal studies can really give to each other, how they can learn from each other. Because, you know, like all traditions, they specialize in different things, although they have very similar interests. So reflecting about this yesterday, I was having a sense that transpersonal theory can learn from integral theory to pay greater attention to developmental theories. We have developmental theories in transpersonal movement, but there is a way in which in integral theory, the attention that is being placed to a greater number of developmental theories as a solid foundation for transpersonal growth, I think that's unparalleled in the transpersonal movement. And as well, listening to Ken's talk, also was feeling as well that there is something that transpersonal psychology would hesitate very much to associate it with a green meme in any way. It's much more diverse than that, the movement. But there is something that it can learn from integral theory, meticulous analysis of the shortcomings and problems and distortions of the green meme approach and the problems that leads to the world. To be sure, I think that we need to exercise tremendous compassion and tremendous understanding for the voices of those people who were oppressed. But that doesn't mean that we need to kind of like justify multicultural chaos and entitlement in the levels that we're seeing today. And I come from CIS, that is kind of a transpersonal institution, and I have seen symptoms of those problems, you know, with identity politics and multiculturalism, things that are very important that we all want to support, right? But at the same time, there is an analysis here that I think the transpersonal community can also learn from. So moving, there is more I could say in that side, but just for the balance, I'll go to the other side and then we'll move up. What can integral theory can learn from transpersonal psychology? My frank sense, honest sense, is that it can learn to be a bit more modest, a bit more humble. In some of its claims, in particular, claims that there is only one way to go to move from green to yellow, and that it goes through that particular sequence of stages leading to this kind of like non-dual goal. The experience of people I've worked, my own experience, and in my reading of trajectories of so many psychospiritual individuals, past and present, is that there is a variety of ways in which people can move from green meme to other places. That there is a variety of endpoints, not just non-dual, but there could be other endpoints. We have like over 200 religious traditions in the world. So that one particular tradition, let alone one single person, has got the right or more superior truth than the others, I think is something to contemplate with certain pause. I think this is very important. The tendency to approach alternative integral visions that are not in agreement with integral theory as necessarily belonging to lower developments of understandings. I think that's like a problem that in order for this beautiful community to enter into dialogue, not only with transpersonal psychology, but with many other traditions, I think that there's something that you need to bracket those things, to enter dialogue in a different way would be much more fruitful in my understanding. And thank you. And I'm saying this because I very much care about integral theory, even though I have been a critic of it in some aspects of it. I'm very much scared of it. I'm much scared about this community. There is so much of value there. And I believe if by softening those claims, two things can be achieved that are important. On the one hand, integral theory will be able to be more in contact with other fields in the academia, like religious studies and integral education, other fields that they don't take integral theory too seriously, precisely because of those claims. And I go to American Academy of Religion conferences all the time. I've had many conversations, and I always hear the same, like, well, that's not really serious. They are just doing something that has been done in the history of religions for decades, arranging different traditions and states in a particular thing, but that's completely arbitrary. So and also most importantly, like Ken talked about the importance of like letting go of the problematic side of religion, right? And he emphasized the mythical dimension of religion. I totally agree with him. It's not different. But the other problematic aspect is what I call spiritual narcissism. The deep-seated belief that your tradition, your spiritual choice, what has worked for you to liberate yourself is kind of somehow superior or more complete or final to others. And that's problematic because it leads the integral theory into a kind of like religionism and sectarianism, and that's how it's been seen from outside, that you don't want to be seen that way, but also it's not really intrinsic to the movement, as I understand and as I'm speaking with you here. So suffering those claims, entering into dialogue in a different way, I think it can really helps to purge the movement, not only from that kind of mythical dimension of religions, but from this kind of spiritual narcissism that has plagued religious history for all life. And it's those two together that are at the base of the most problematic issues with religions, violence and interreligious-based terrorism. It's not only the myths, it's the sense that God is on my side, or has backing more my side than the others because my tradition is more right. I think I'll leave it here. I'm speaking a bit too much. So we'll move on there.
So I try to compose a short message at the end of my life now, so to put in a bottle. And I also notice here in the van that there are fish in the water, and the fish are kind of comparing notes. Hey, you have a gray fin. Yes, but your fin is colored. And they see that they are different. And it's one thing that they don't notice, that they are living in the water. Because it's so obvious that the last thing a fish would think, that we are in the water together. So I see a little similarity here, that what got me into transpersonalism and integralism is that I felt that psychology has to have spirituality in it. And I think this is the mission that drives transpersonal psychology, that drives Ken Wilber, and probably that drives all of us. So even if we debate on whether there are universal stages that are described by Ken, or whether it's not the last model we should use and there are alternatives, it's fine what color the fins of us are, but actually we are embodying the same mission, and for me this underlying mission is just more inspiring to focus on. And if I focus on that mission, I feel brotherhood, sisterhood, love to Jorge, to Ken, to all of you. And when I met Jorge as the biggest critic of Wilber, I was expecting some rigorous guy with hard look, but I found a warm-hearted guy, a loving guy, a well-connected, very intelligent and skilled person, and I felt deeply connected. And this connectedness is somehow just more important than which is the ultimate model of reality. And I want to put out this message there. While at the same time, I'm firmly believing in Wilber's stages. And it's okay for Jorge.
It's a free world.
Yeah, it's a free world. So having the differences in you and being connected at heart in a deeper mission, I think that's a solution I'm gladly offer. And to finish my message for the battle, I as a psychologist feel that in the lower left quadrant, society basically entitles us, psychologists, psychotherapists, to be the priests of the modern world. We are the healers, the priests of the modern world. If someone has a mental problem, we go to a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist, most probably. So, and what we have, we didn't have spirituality. We didn't have the notion of enlightenment, of waking up with a deeper meaning of life. We were torn apart. Different schools of psychology never been put together. And it was Ken Wilber for the first time who put it all together. There were some minor syntheses here and there, but an all-encompassing model, putting it all together. For me, as a young psychologist, it was like, wow, this is what we need. Not just because of a personal preference, but because of the felt sense of responsibility, that if we are the new priests and healers of the society, we need to have a model that includes all aspects of human being, including the ego and the transpersonal self. So thank you.
So we can just take a moment as the water kind of totally fills and this featureless van descends. All right, so new vignette. You guys ready? All right, we're gonna, those were long 3 minutes, gentlemen. They were exquisite, but new vignette. Bensei is having an affair. It's with Roger. They're in bed. It's a big bed. There's white sheets.
This isn't how I imagined it.
I know.
Your last minute.
And then you said, it's so much better than I had imagined. And Bensei says, I know. We'll just leave the details, but it's good, right? It was really good. But all of a sudden, the front door opens. It's Roger's spouse, Jorge. And that, oh no, sets in, right?
Who's his spouse, his or his?
Yeah. So.
I'm his spouse.
No. You're Roger's spouse. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys just to make it clear.
You guys are a couple. He's visiting. Good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect.
This is getting weird.
And that's exactly.
Okay, so. Jorge is walking down the hallway looking for his beloved and isn't finding him in the kitchen, makes his way to the bathroom. Now, we've got some yoga. It's called the Get Your Underpants On As Fast As You Can asana. And he's got his underpants on and he's gathered all of his clothes and he's making the run into the bathroom, right? And he gets into the bathroom and he's looking around and the only place to hide is in the bathtub. Right. So he jumps in, and for some odd reason, the bathtub is half full of water. Splash, and he's holding his clothes. And Jorge comes in, he's like, hi, honey. I'm just really thirsty, I need to get a drink of water, but I'll be right back. And Roger sees, like, something, he's having a rough day, right? You're having a rough day. So he goes into the bathroom, turns on the faucet, gets a glass of water, and has a drink. And he's started to try to put on one of his pant legs, so he's like this, just frozen. Don't wiggle at all, just balance, don't drop anything. And he can hear glug, 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 the swallowing. All right, clank, the glass gets put down, he comes back into the room. Little exhale, you're finally relaxed. You're like, oh, thank goodness. Just putting on his clothes. You're getting kind of soppy wet because pants and water everywhere. It's like starting to kind of seep up his legs. And Roger knows that something's up. So he asks Jorge this question. How do you hurt? How do you hurt? That's the question that Roger asks. And he hears it. And he's curious. How do you hurt?
How did I hear?
How do you hurt?
What?
How do you hurt?
Oh, how is my heart?
Yes. How do you hurt?
How do I hurt?
How do you hurt?
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's
yes,
a difficult yes. question to even get.
In your heart, yes, how yes. do you hurt?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
There was like some unnecessary rudeness in my interactions in the store, Roger. Can you help me with that? I don't want to feel that.
It's your problem.
Let's go into the we space, please.
So you're saying that there's some unnecessary, what was the word that you used?
Rudeness.
Rudeness.
Yes.
So, Roger, what do you have to say in response? Like there's an unnecessary rudeness. What's like the simple statement that you want to say in this moment?
I would say that one of the great regrets of my life and every life is the way we unnecessarily hurt one another. And that one of the aspirations I, and I assume all of us hold, is to continue cleaning up, growing up, waking up, partly to reduce the pain in our own hearts, but partly to reduce the pain we cause others.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I feel much better, honey.
So, thank you. So hearing this exchange, you've got your clothes on. You decide, I'm coming out of the bathroom. You've heard this. And what is it that you want to say to Jorge's hurt?
We love you. We love you anyway.
And there's a final character in this story. And it's me. I crawl out from underneath the bed. And I say, yeah, I'm in this too. And I say, I absolutely love you gentlemen for the sacrifices that you've made to reveal your positions and to fight for what matters deeply and to enact the conflict and the tension that is necessary for our own betterment. And then I start taking off my clothes.
That's another story.
Okay, so. All right, last vignette. We're at this conference, and we're on stage. And for some reason, the fire alarm goes off, right? But the fire sprinklers don't really work fully. It's weird, but there's this sprinkle of mist just descending down upon everybody, right? And there's a sweetness and there's a tenderness in the room. And suddenly we realize that these men have offered their lives to helping humanity in their own diverse ways. And what they get on the count of three is a rousing standing ovation for the work that they've given us. One, two, three.
That's good.